In the secret of today's Mass, at the end of the offertory, the Church prays, Of thy goodness, O God, grant thy Church the gifts of unity and of peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Well, how is your life these days? Is it unified? Is it at peace? Or have perhaps all of the preparations for this First Communion and all the events of a busy spring seemingly conspired to occasion a lot of stress? And sometimes you might think to yourself that life is getting pretty downright chaotic. But then you come to church, this Corpus Christi, a day which is all charged with sweet memories, the little children dressed in white for their first Holy Communion, and the sublime ceremonies honoring Jesus on his altar throne, candlelit and surrounded with flowers. This seems to be the beautiful singing of the choir, the very opposite of chaos, a place of great peace. And yet, things are not always what they seem to be. A kind of chaos, you know, would reign on the altar were it not for a perpetual miracle which keeps peace constantly emanating from the Blessed Sacrament, the Sacred Host. Here we see what seems to us children to be just bread, right? And today, when you have your first taste of our Lord, it will seem to you to be bread. And yet, there's no bread anymore there. Our senses fail us. The accidents, the appearance of things, the taste, the texture, the touch, by which we judge something to be what it is, these have given way. They have been co-opted by Christ to serve as a garment, to serve as a vehicle for a far greater substance than a bit of food, some bread and wine mixed with water. They have given way. They have gone away and ceded place to the substance. The word means that which makes a thing to be what it truly is, the body, the blood, the soul, and the divinity of Jesus Christ. His word upholds them, these accidents, and in lieu of deception, there is the assurance of our faith. Instead of chaos at such a reversal of the natural order of things, here in the sanctuary there reigns peace, a very great peace from the sacrament of peace. Now, is it, I wonder, today, any less a contradiction for us and a source of confusion to so many Catholics to see the fulfillment of the Savior's words at the Last Supper, the first Mass? I will strike, our Lord says, the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. Things are not what they seem to be. That is to say, there is a new religion which has replaced the old, and a new Mass, and a new Pope, and new teachings. And it's not just the accidents that have changed and given way to modernism. There is something of the substance which is gone and missing. And how do we know? It is not our senses, but it is our Catholic sense, the gift of faith, which comes from a God who cannot change, which tells us it is so. And consider, finally, our own dear church, shaken from time to time in its history by substantial splits or schisms, such as our story. And these always occasion, if not chaos, at least a certain confusion in some Catholics. And then there are the heartbreaking departures and the empty places at the family table, which demand, Monsignor Knox says, the tribute of tears. And it is one which we render. And yet, the church doors stand open from season to season and feast to feast. The holy sacrifice is offered in the sublimity of sanctity. And sacraments are given out, all seven, and graces are bestowed. There is no chaos to be found here in this church, but only the sweet comfort of an unchanging faith in a chaotic and crazy world. And how is it with you, my friend, this morning? Do you bear the burden of worry, some stress beneath your surface smile as you go about the routine of piety this Sunday? How easy it is for any of us, considering all the potential conflicts which could come in church or a marriage or a family or among friends, considering too those unnamed fears and sadnesses which have a way of getting lodged deep in the heart, to find ourselves short on peace. And that is why we lose our heads, because we take counsel not from Our Lady, but of whatever latent fear is first to rise to the surface of our souls. And we make hasty decisions. We get irritable. We give way to depression and even despair. Pray, steps to peace of heart. How are we ever going to organize our thoughts to order our lives so that there should be even a chance for recollection, much less repose, where all is turbulent within, in the midst of our own personal chaos? How? Well, I'm glad you've asked. You've come to the right place today, and we have come to our seventh step for personal peace, whose source is just a few steps away, up the altar steps. There, here, our most effective approach to overcoming anxiety and all of the damage it does is this threefold plan we leave you with today. It is determinately positive because it is supernatural. Good prayer, which leads to a positive planning of our lives and gives way to peaceful action. First, positive prayer. What does that mean, positive prayer? Why, it means simply this, that you should thank God. We do that throughout the Mass, but especially in the Gloria. We give thee thanks for thy great glory, that we should thank God beforehand. We had to thank God this morning when it was raining, because we knew he would give us the sun. Father Solanus used to say, thank God beforehand. He was a miracle-working Capuchin friar in Detroit in the 1940s and 50s. He was continuing a fine Franciscan tradition, going all the way back to St. Felix of Cantalice, 16th century Rome, to Father Martin in the suburbs of Chicago in the 21st century, with his holy hours, which hold out such hope for us. To thank God beforehand means to thank God for his solution before your problem seems to be resolved, for surely it will be. Positive planning, next, involves looking at a problem realistically, with an eye for what may be learned and what may be gained from it. My goodness, there is a world of wisdom which awaits us. Anger, resentment, that litany of what onlys, if onlys, they only get in the way of the Holy Ghost, who sits down at the Lord's table with us and wants to pass us the salt of wisdom. Thirdly, positive action, which often at first means to do positively nothing, nothing except to pray. It comes last, but it is worth waiting for, as now you can face difficulty without negative emotions of anger or of bitterness. And in all of this, could there be a better place to pray? Is there a sweeter source of strength than this blessed sacrament? And to think that some people stay away when faced with fears. Oh, they go online, but they do not go to our Lord. But you will, and that means that you will pull yourself together, precisely in proportion as you manage to come in out of the chaos and to get closer to Christ in communion, in masses, and in visits of adoration. This blessed sacrament is the sacrament of peace because it is the sacrament of unity. It does not merely produce more charity towards our neighbor, more loyalty to the church, the more we receive this sacrament. It makes you more at unity with yourself. This blessed sacrament carves out some order out of the chaos. It recreates your world. It catches up your life in a sweet rhythm that echoes heavenly music. Hear it today. Taste it. See it here and here. And ask yourself, is this not peace? God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.